Welcome to the Evident Footprint Show, where we talk about government, music, art, health, science, ufology, religion, metaphysics, and all things spiritual. In short, we'll examine the truth, and when we find things that aren't right, we'll offer creative solutions. And now, the host of Evident Footprints, Don Nikoloff. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Evident Footprints on BBSRadio.com. I'm your host, Don Nikoloff, and I'll be with you for the next hour on this May the 18th on the West Coast, now May the 19th on the East Coast and in the Central Time Zone. We'd like to welcome those listening in on Wind Talkers Radio Network, and I hope you get something of value out of tonight's show and certainly the message that comes with it. Well, people are in fear for a lot of reasons. Some might be valid. Many other are based on contrived stories, disinformation, and basically denial. People are in denial, and they don't want to face things the way they are. And under all this stress and pressure that's caused by not knowing who's telling the truth, not knowing what's going on, all we can think of is someone telling us something good. Chaka Khan and Rufus. Got it right? Tell me something good. Well, I'm going to tell you something good, because tonight's Wellness Wednesday, and that means the Mango Man is with us. He is a nutritional consultant, a motivational speaker, and living proof that what he says you should do about your eating is true. And his name is Dr. Wayne Pickering. Dr. Wayne, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much. Let me tell you something about that, brother. Tell me something good tonight's show. I'm so glad we finally got to this point in our series. I'm going to be sharing something with the audience tonight that's going to be life-changing. And it's probably one of them. If they don't listen to any more of this series and just get this one point that we're going to make here in tonight's show, they've received a monumental blessing. Because when I heard this, it was amazing.
Well,
so
you know,
it's good to be back with you, Don.
Yeah. Well, thank you. I didn't mean to step on your toes there.
No, that's all right.
This song is 30 years old.
Oh, I know it. I said, where's Don getting these songs, man? I love them.
it's part of my collection. But Chaka Khan and Rufus was one of my favorite groups back in the late 70s and into the 80s. And she's still doing it. You know, she's still
amazing. She did something one night with a few of the group from Quincy Jones.
Mm-hmm.
And on Quincy Jones's 75th birthday, I think is what it was, I watched that DVD.
Mm-hmm.
And she just tore the house down, man.
Yeah. Yeah.
She's still good.
She's awesome.
Yes.
There's only one Chaka Khan.
Very, very, and there's only one Don Nikoloff, let me tell you. I don't know if anybody else quite like you, Don.
Thank God for that, right. Well, Dr. Wayne, tell us something good.
You know, on our last interview series that we've had, I shouldn't say interview series, on the last component of this interview series, we talked about how to get well safely once and for all. And now what we need to do is learn how to stay well for life. That's the deal. I mean, there are 9 components that will keep us healthy, which is what these next components are all about. And we have in our society today, Don, as you know, and we've always discussed, and even on our private conversations, we have in our society today not a managed health care system, but we have a managed disease care system.
Oh, yes.
And I know that you've probably talked a lot about that in a lot of your other interviews, but isn't that true?
Yes, and it bears repeating again, because we get a contradictory message all the time, and we don't really pay attention to what we hear. We have short memories.
Yeah, very much. And during this series, what we're going to do is learn how to manage our health easily, freely, simply, and this way we can live longer and not just last longer. And it all boils down to the choices we make. So how about if we start there tonight? Let's talk about some of the choices. Can we do that?
Sure. Be my guest.
All right.
You are my guest.
So far, we've discovered that old age does not cause sickness. Because if that was true, then everybody who's old would be sick. And we know that's not the case. Age is not a matter of years. It's a matter of condition, and we never have to be sick, no matter what age we are. We can either get older and better or old and bitter, and in this interview, you're going to find out how to use your attitude to rise to the top when it comes to your health so you can get older and better. Now, that's my whole target with my health here, and there are a lot of people in this country. Do you know there's over 100,000 people in the United States alone who are over 100 years old?
Yeah, I heard the number was pretty high. It wasn't certain that it was that high, but that's...
It's one of the largest or fastest growing segments, really, outside of the baby boomers of our populace, really. But there are 3 things that have made an impact on my life when I view health anymore. I know I've shared these before, but it's worth repeating at the moment. Mm-hmm. Number one, if we can, because we're going to talk about attitude, stress management, and laughter in this component of this series, and we may have to take a week or two to do this, but there are three things that I think that if people will understand about the topic of health, now you can get yourself on a roll. Number one, we never catch disease. It's impossible to catch disease. We earn it. And it stems from crud in the blood, from being drunk with junk. And the second one is we're already healthy automatically by design and sick only by default. And the best thing that helps me more than anything is we always get well by what comes out of us, never by what goes into us. And, you know, Don, I know you probably heard this a dozen times before, but I have so many people, come on, Doc, we got to die of something. And I say, no. No, you don't have to die of anything. You can just die. Because we're all on the road to death. There's just no need to jump out there in the passing lane. So before you can become great, you have to be good. And before you become good, you have to be bad. And before you become bad, you at least have to try. So let's get the ball rolling. And there are three areas, as I said, we're going to discuss here. Attitude, stress management, and laughter. And it's an attitude. You can be healthy. No doubt about it. I'm always surprised when I hear somebody moaning that they have arthritis, cancer, MS, and we've got loads of callers calling us with MS and candida. That's another big one. Colds, they can't quit smoking. And every time I hear this, I always trace it back to attitude and choices. My younger brother smoked for 30 years and always said he couldn't quit. He had a double brain aneurysm, Don, a few years back, which really blew us all away in a family. I mean, because we love him, of course. Mm-hmm. But when the doctor told him that he would die in a month if he didn't quit, guess what? He quit. And it was an attitude and a better choice. His want was there. And it's so unfortunate that he alienated himself so much over the years. And now he can't stand them. And it all boils down to this old piece of wisdom. There's no more rigid master than yesterday's slave. So here's a second point. I was coming home a few days ago, actually, on a 40-mile bike ride I was doing. And when I was coming around the corner, somebody shouted out my name. And when I stopped, he introduced me to his friend who was in a wheelchair. And Steve introduced him and said he had MS. And Steve asked me to give him a food, if you will, that was good for his MS. I got to thinking, how about something bad for it? We've got our whole vernacular down. Here we are putting drugs of which we know little into bodies of which we know less to try to cure diseases of which we know nothing. So it's an attitude, everybody. It's an attitude. You've got to be thinking attitude. Healthy people don't have a great attitude because they're healthy. They're healthy because they have a great attitude. And it's the will of a person, not the skill of a person, that counts. I know you've probably heard this a dozen times, everybody, but it's worth repeating here again. Here's an interesting point about attitude. You take the alphabet, A equals 1, B equals 2, C equals 3, D equals 4, and write down the alphabet. If you think hard work is going to be the answer to all of the challenges that we have in life, no, no, no. You just, the word even itself spells it. You take the letter H, that's 8, A is 1, hard, like hard work. You put each of those letters down the page, you put the corresponding number out beside of them, and they all add up to 98% only, hard work. If you think knowledge is the bottom line, knowledge is must. Hard work is a must, but it's not the end all. Knowledge, you take each corresponding letter, K equals 11, N equals 14, O equals 15, and write down the line. That all adds up to 96. But when you write down the word attitude, A equals 1, T equals 20, T equals 20, 9 is the I, and write down the bottom, that all adds up, interestingly enough, to 100. Attitude, it's 100% of what you need to do to be healthy. It means 100% of what you do in life. And everything we have is a result of choices, whether it be poor health, no money, bad relationships, and so on. So the only difference, because I want to teach you something here in a few minutes that's going to be life-changing for you. The only difference between the two words, choice and chance, very simple, is the OI and the AN. If we make the right choice with our health, choice, OI, we can oust illness. But if we take our health by chance, the AN, then we will always need. So I have a good friend of mine, Dr. Gail Carson. As a matter of fact, I've had her on actually quite a few of my shows, and I've done quite a few of her shows, teleseminars and webinars and all of that. And one time when I was interviewing her, Don, this stuck in my mind for years. She said, it's known that 5 minutes of negative energy takes your body 24 hours just to get back to normal. 5 minutes of negative energy. Can you imagine? So do you have any comments so far about all of this?
Well, I got a year to deal with that. No, that's true. It's certainly true. And I like what you said about knowledge, too, because we are trapped in a belief system, and it bears repeating that we assume things because people tell us, but we don't really experience them. And we certainly don't gain any knowledge of our own unique experience based on our attitude and our determination to make our own choices. We conform, like you said last time.
Yeah, good one. Good one. Now, you see, let me teach you a little something here that I was doing a big interview series with Dr. Sal Martingano. So let me preface it this way. When you go to a doctor to get a test for whatever ails you, and his prognosis gives you a grim prognosis, how does your attitude with that prognosis affect your recovery process? And this is probably the most important piece of information to share with you during this whole interview series. So what I'd encourage you to do, everybody who's listening to the show and the archive of this, is to stop, get your pen and paper out, and put this in big print in several places, in your bathroom, your kitchen, your office, your car, wherever it is. You're going to do this. This will be life-changing for you. And when I heard this, I was totally taken back. I was doing a show down in Melbourne, Florida, a couple of years back, and I was doing it with Dr. Sal Martingano, and he brought up some interesting facts about the right attitude when it comes to our prognosis. Now, what I'm going to do is I'm going to give you a summation of what he said, and then I'm going to read you a little short article where this came from. Now, but let me refresh our memories just a little bit about the difference between diagnosis and prognosis. Diagnosis is what are the conditions. Prognosis is what are your chances. So here's what he said. The words of your doctor are powerful hypnotic suggestions in the mind of every vulnerable patient. Now, here's what I want you to write down. It's known that the first 5 minutes after a prognosis determines the efficacy of the recovery process. I'll repeat that. It's that first 5 minutes after your prognosis determines the efficacy of the disease recovery process. Now, let's talk about that. We know that that first 5 minutes is going to determine the outcome of this whole prognosis. And he sent me this article, which I have to read you just a little piece of it here. And it had, I know it's impacted everybody who hears it, because I know it impacted me. I'm just going to read it, about two paragraphs here. It's been demonstrated that the brain can only achieve what it can conceive. Therefore, a good prognosis or a bad prognosis will be interpreted by the brain in the same way. That is, a good prognosis will turn on the endorphins that will summon the forces of healing to speed up the process. Likewise, the article reads, a bad prognosis will summon the forces to prepare for the inevitable entropy or demise of the body. The trick is that you can block the monumental forces of despair that accompany a bad prognosis and instead believe that you will not accept that bad prognosis, and you will instead turn on the endorphins to beat the odds. And you can do it just like that, in an instant. Now here's what happens. Your brain will move you in the direction of the healing forces. So therefore, you have literally less than 5 minutes to decide your mental fate. So everybody, it takes 5 minutes after your prognosis, and the attitude you take will determine the efficacy of your disease recovery process. Now, that was demonstrated in Norman Cousins' books, Anatomy of an Illness, when he took his prognosis of cancer and started to focus all his attention and energy to what brought him happiness, laughter, and peace. For him, it was watching the Marx Brothers and the Three Stooges. So what he really did was laugh himself to health. So in reality, what he did, he would not allow the forces of his demise to take hold, but instead he replaced them with those wholesome thoughts which promoted all that inner healing. And over time, the destructive forces of that continuous lowering of the body's pH stress, it stops and is replaced with a more alkaline body chemistry. This is great news. And it's been shown to take place without diet changes, but by the mind itself. So when we have the acronym, A New Start, because these are the 9 components that's going to keep you healthy for life. It's called A New Start in Life, attitude. And notice it hits the top. Attitude, nutrition, exercise, water, sunshine, tenacity, air, rest, and temperance in all we do. If we get those components down and you listen to this series that Don and I put together for you, you will be healthy for the long haul. Because I'll tell you, healthy people have a lot of goals. Unhealthy people only have one goal. So it's so much easier to be healthy when you want to than when you have to. So the point is here, there is no physical law that states that the body always strives to be healthy. Now that's another interesting thing. The body always strives to survive and has no more tendency than life and death. So if the forces of all of our mental awareness here favor the demise of the body, then the body will prepare for that inevitable or strive for the best path to death. So it's synonymous that if the forces are turned around towards hope and happiness, love, forgiveness, promise for the future, so to speak, then the body will in turn strive for the strongest survival forces possible. So to conclude on that, the actual choice for life or death is in the perception of your mind. You tell a healthy person they have cancer, and in 3 months, that's all they have to live, and watch their physiology change to, let's say, resemble that fate. Now, you tell them after 3 months that it was a mistake, and they are as healthy as a human can be and watch their physiology change back for the better. But the only difference was the attitude, how the mind perceived its prognosis. Isn't that good, Don?
Mm-hmm. You know, what comes to my mind as I'm listening to you say this is an acidic condition would indicate a lower frequency. Illness and disease puts one in a lower frequency, and when one becomes happy and laughs and is at rest within themselves, peaceful, as you described, then they become alkaline. That would have to be the opposite, would have to be a higher frequency.
Very well said, and very well said, really. So you wonder, give us some examples, so to speak, people ask me, of the power of the mind and how attitude can make the difference between life and death. I mean, really. Well, there's a lot of them out there, actually. There's tons of them. But I'm going to give you a couple of them. Here's a guy out in the Midwest, West Kansas, actually. And you know how windy it is out there.
Mm-hmm.
Real windy. And you folks are having some really turbulent weather up there now as we speak. But out there in the Midwest, the wind is incredible. Well, here's a guy, and I've got this documented here. Here was a guy who was inspecting some refrigerator trucks out there in the Midwest. And it was around 2 in the morning, and a huge Don, I get chills thinking about this story. And a gust of wind, actually, around 2 o'clock in the morning, slammed the door shut, and the latch fell down and locked that inspector inside of that refrigerator truck, and he knew he was going to freeze to death in there.
Mm.
So he sat down, he wrote a note, and laid down to die. Now, when they found him the next day, frozen to death, and read his note, they were shocked, as the truck was actually broken and never got below 52 degrees. The power of the mind at work. Now, that's awesome. Now, here's Dr. Ian Pavlov. I'll never forget this man. He was known for his research. I think you might know about Dr. Pavlov.
Oh, yes.
With his research for the dogs. Remember that?
Mm-hmm. Ringing the bell and the saliva and all that, yeah.
Yeah. Well, he discovered so many behaviors of those dogs. Now, he was dying this time. Now, when I read this biography of Dr. Pavlov, I mean, I was shocked. He was dying, and they gave him 24 hours to live. Now, you better come down from the sky with a set of wings on if you're going to tell me I got 24 hours to live. So they offered him anything he wanted as a final request. What did he want? You know what he asked for? He said, I want you to go down to the river's edge and get me a 5-gallon bucket of mud. And he was very specific where he wanted it. And they said, what do you want? No, just go down and get me the mud. They brought this 5-gallon bucket of mud, and then they wheeled him down into a certain spot by the river's edge. He told everybody, leave. They all left. He got down on the ground and started playing in the mud like he did like when he was a kid in a state of bliss. Mm-hmm. He started making these sand castles, brother, and his fever broke. And in a couple days, he actually started getting well. And do you know what? He lived for several years after that and wrote about that experience, illustrating the power of the mind at work. That's amazing to me. I got another one that just comes to mind real quick. They had a study where they did, they had a couple hundred women who had breast cancer, and they were given a placebo as a form of their treatment. 2/3 of them improved, and the other third lost their hair, thinking they were going to lose it, because of the normal cancer treatments that people get today. Now, this was a placebo. the power of the mind to work. Your body is going to respond so much better to your attitude than the reality of it all. But once you recover, it's going to behoove you not to continue to make yourself sick, as your body's defenses against continual abuse is, as we've learned so far, is disease. And when you're sick, your body is telling you that in the form of pain. And when we try to nullify the pain with all these drugs and everything, and then we continue to get worse. It's called, and I mentioned this, I think, in a previous session of ours together, it's called pathology. So let me just refresh our memories once again. You've got six stages of pathology. What does pathology mean? That's the evolution or the history of disease. You've got enervation, you know, where you need to sleep more. You're tired. You're not feeling. You're screaming at the kids. Your nerves are shot. You get colds all the time. You sneeze all the time. That's called enervation. Enervate means to weaken. Bad breath and all that stuff. Then you've got irritation. That's where, you know, you're got horrible headaches, rapid heartbeat, joints are sore all the time. And when we take enough drugs and take enough things to appease, potions, lotions, and everything to appease the condition, when the body is really just crying out, please, help. But yet we nullify all that. And when we continue the same habits that got there, thinking we catch it, which is garbage, we earn it. And when we continue using those habits, then we evolve into stage three, inflammation, asthma, fever, kidney sores, and inflamed areas around the lungs and the liver, pimples, and all that stuff. Then when we try to appease it long enough, then we get into ulceration, the fourth cause, ulcers in the stomach, the lungs, the liver, and all that stuff. Then we get into induration. That's where your hormonal glands are barely active. Fibroid tissues are forming, menopause, is tumors, all that stuff. Now, the good news is those first five are totally reversible. The last one is called fungation. That's where your DNA, the intelligence of the cell, has lost control and can't guide you back to health. And as I say, the good news is that the first five are reversible, and you can get your health back. So we need to be thinking about how can we get a good attitude about it and not stress yourself out because they say you have cancer. Sure, it's something to be concerned about, and you better get your act together, so to speak, because it'll take hold of you. But get a good attitude. That's crucial. And we can always help you there when you have your coaching time coming to you. So do you have any comments so far, Don?
Well, listening to you speak, and I'm not disagreeing with anything you're saying, I totally agree. Most people approach making the initial decision that's going to, or the choice that's going to change their attitude or set them on the path to changing their attitude is based upon denying the validity of what you're saying. In other words, we're so indoctrinated into accepting all the things that we were told about, take this and you'll feel better. Take this and your headache will go away. You'll stop sneezing. Your rash will go away. Your irritability or your insomnia. We have all these drugs that we take. And as you said, the body is crying for help. And we don't realize that those very things have also basically disabled our organs. Our organs need to be flushed out and cleaned.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so that's going through my mind while you're speaking, that there's a hurdle to overcome.
Exactly. And it's actually a great blessing. It's actually a blessing, because if that little momentary intervention in our lifestyle didn't happen because of the destructive habits that we had, well, ultimately we would succumb. We would die. So we have those momentary causes, our pauses, I should say, in our life, to go ahead and make a stop, and let's take an intelligent approach to this. Let's get a good attitude about it. You already know how to get well safely. Now what you need to do is learn how to stay well for life. And you need to, we need to talk about a healthy self-image, because that is so crucial. And there's a little poem about this, Don, that I found one time. I think it's a good little fit here. Like it or not, grow up we must, good or bad or sometimes bold. If we could only learn to adjust, we could grow up without growing old. So here are some ways that I'm convinced that we can create that and keep that healthy self-image, as a matter of fact. You look in the mirror. If you do this for just 1 minute a day, we know right now, Don, that it's the first 15 minutes in the morning and the last 15 minutes at night is the most powerful. That's when your body, your mind is in an alpha state. It's when you're the most receptive to good ideas, good intentions, and it's at that time that you need to be thinking like this. Look in the mirror. Just keep your eye on you for one straight minute. Now, a lot of people can't do that. First of all, if we don't tell ourselves we love ourselves, how in the world can we expect others to tell us that? So here's a little trick. Look in the mirror in the morning and keep your eye contact on your eyes for just 1 minute and remind yourself of some of the great things you've done, and your grateful list will help you immensely. Now, I don't know if I shared this with you yet, but I'm going to, I'd love to do it now. Every morning when I roll out of bed in the morning and I thank God for three things each day that I was not thankful for before. And when you start writing all those things down, and I have a log, I write those three things down on this day, and then the next day I write the new three things. So that's a goal for you. Start writing down three things that you're grateful for that you weren't grateful for before. That'll change your life, just that. Because you'll be going through the day trying to think, well, what can I be grateful for today? Because I was already grateful for those other things a few weeks ago. So be thinking about your gratefulness, but remind yourself and tell yourself that you love yourself. I like myself. It's like pumping up a tire. I like myself. I like myself. I like myself. And when you do that, your whole energy, be proud of that one who looks back at you in the mirror every day. I mean, that's the only person that you have to really, really, really be true to. That incredibly, dynamically wonderful you. Do you know that we have a one-shot lubricating system, Don? One shot. I mean, I don't know, you don't have that in your car. You don't have that in any other machine that mankind has ever built. No airplane, nothing. One-shot lubricating. You put the food, like say your car, for example. Well, you got to put radiator fluid in one hole. You got to put power steering fluid in another hole. Brake fluid in another hole, oil in another hole, gas in another hole, but not you. You've got a one-shot lubricating system. You put the food in one hole, and it's all done for you. One-shot lubricating. Your fingernails grow exactly at the same rate as the way the earth plates move, and that the Atlantic Ocean is widening about an inch per year. And every day, your blood travels 168 million miles. That's 6,720 times around the globe. You're special. I mean, did you ever consider at how perfectly your body is timed and controlled, how it maintains a normal temperature of 98.6 degrees, how your blood pressure is properly regulated, and why you breathe an average of 16 times a minute, and that your heart beats 72 times a minute, how common food is digested, and how it makes blood, muscle, skin, bones, hair, and all that. I mean, we're special with a non-negotiable self-worth. We're champs. We're not chumps. And the problem is, it's the bad stuff that's always easiest to remember about yourself. You're special with greatness. So we've got to keep a healthy self-image here. And all of these things that happen to us in life, I'm convinced, every adversity has that seed to an equivalent benefit. I know you've heard that hundreds of times. But every setback is a set-up to come back. Oh, it's easy to backslide at times. But when you plant a garden, you got to think like this. One thing you don't have to do is plant the weeds. They just come up and don't need any nurturing at all. And if we don't cull them out, they're going to take over sure as shooting. We've got to plant the vegetables. And we really have to give them special attention or the weeds will just take over. Well, it's the same with our nutritional habits, our fitness habits, and all that. When we backslide into junk food, then those habits will soon take over our more healthy habits. And, you know, it doesn't need much encouragement. That just happens. Then we've got a mess of weeds to attend to instead of the rewards of eating the best most of the time. Nutrition is our next series, or I should say next component of this series. Here's something I'd love for everybody to do. You get rid of the junk in your house. And I had to, so I wouldn't eat it anymore. Because when you're hungry, you're going to eat. Then I fill the refrigerator with, I've got two, I'm a single man. Two refrigerators, stock full of food, and fresh fruit all the way around the kitchen, the Florida room, and it's nice little decorations around the house. And I was determined to get rid of that 40-some pounds that I hated on my body so bad, 40 to 50 pounds at a time, hated it. Boy, when I get rid of that weight, there were two things that I enjoyed the most, that I could get on the beach and take my shirt off without being just embarrassed to death, and two, I could walk into a clothing store and pick something off the rack and wear it out. I didn't have to leave it with them for 2 to 3 days to be altered, hemmed, tucked, hemmed, anything like that. So it's no picnic being fat. It's no picnic being sick, I'll tell you. And it's no picnic being miserable. And here's a good line. I've never heard anybody, no, there's nothing to support that we're here in this world, put it this way, to be either sick, fat, miserable, or broke. Now, I've learned it's okay to be broke, but it's not okay to stay broke. And it's the same with our health. It's okay to get a little sniffle once in a while, but it's not okay to have pneumonia. And the greatest lesson that I can teach you is that we don't catch any of those problems. We earn them. You're a marvel of design, and you were meant to prosper and live in abundance with a carefree attitude. And sure, we've got a lot of things going against us all the time, but those are the challenges. Those are the things that keep us going. And half of what we get in life is knowing what we must do to what we must give up to get it. So if it's health you want, and if it's being lean and mean, if it's having a great time in life, then you need to be giving up on some of those things that take you away from those things that you really want. So I think that your sole purpose should be to help people, and you will. And look what you're doing, Don. This is your genius, man. All of the other things that you do to get you ready for this is your buff time. There's four areas of our time. We've got a genius time, our buff time, our free time, and our rest time. Genius time is what you and I do right now. Our buff time prepares us for that. Our free time is our brain candy, and our rest time is our recuperation time. So I think that if you want to win this game of life, and the listening audience, here's what I'm convinced life is about. If we honor God and serve our fellow man / woman, creating a service out of what we're genuinely passionate about so that everybody who is involved in that service has equal opportunity to gain, then we win. We win at this game of life. And I don't know if you've ever watched the movie Patch Adams. Watched that movie?
Yeah, long time ago, but yeah.
Yeah, Robin Williams, remember that? Mm-hmm. Brother, he got the best women, and people loved him. He was definitely genuine, and he wasn't the most handsome guy on the block, I'll tell you. But I'll tell you, it's your salvation to be totally you. Nobody else is like you. Healthy people have a lot of goals. Sick people only have one goal, and we're masses of energy. Everything is energy. Everything. And when our outgo of energy exceeds our income, then our upkeep becomes our downfall. Our bodies have been sidetracked from our energy, and we're having all these problems. And another thing to keep your healthy self-image up. Did you know that if all of the electronic energy in the hydrogen atoms of the body could be used, that you could supply all of the electrical needs of a large, highly industrialized country for almost a week? And the atoms of your body contain a potential energy of more than 11 million kilowatts per pound. That means an average person, by this estimate, is worth more than $85 million. We got to think phooey on that person that made us believe when we were kids in school that we were only worth $1.06. So we got to think like this, everybody. Those who speak of their illness always have illness. Your thoughts are so important to you, and now is the time to change them if you're not happy with it. Those who speak mostly of their health and prosperity have it. Now, what you think about and think about, you bring about. It's that simple. If you keep thinking of bills, you got more bills. If I had a red Cadillac for years, Don, and I was amazed at how many other red Cadillacs I started seeing. Now, to conclude on this little thought about a healthy self-image, I want everybody to do this. I want you to go and sit in a quiet room and just relax for a while and think about wanting to get real sick with cancer or the like. I want you to do that every day for an hour each day for just 21 days. Now, you watch what happens. Now you're probably thinking, are you crazy? Well, I'd probably get sick, and why in the world would I do that? Well, hello, sit in that same room or wherever you feel most comfortable and relaxed and think about what you really want and watch what happens. You'll be so glad you did. So to conclude on this little portion about a healthy self-image, what you think about expands, and everything in your life has been attracted to you. You got to accept that fact. It's true. Your thoughts create your healthy self-image. And I know you probably got some things you'd like to share with us on that too, Don.
Well, yeah, I'm going to be reiterating in my own words what you've been saying here this whole evening. First of all, you mentioned that a person doesn't get well by what they put into themselves. It's what comes out of them. I agree with that. And don't we, by taking pills or conforming to what other people tell us we can or can't do, instead of making the choice ourselves, in other words, that we are, again, taking something from outside and putting it in us in some capacity. We may not even be aware that we're feeling these things or we're thinking these things. And yet the pump that pumps these millions of miles of blood cells through our body every day, that pump is the heart. And that happens to be the very same way we connect with the Creator. Although it's a different aspect of the heart. It's really related to who we really are. And that our physical presence and our attitude about our physical presence, our thoughts, our mindset, are reflections of that. In other words, we're taught to see ourselves in the mirror, and I'm not speaking about the Zig Ziglar exercise you described, but I'm talking about looking in the mirror and thinking that the person you see in the mirror is really who you are.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And so, therefore, for women, it's makeup. A lot of guys are worried if they have gray hair or if they've got to darken their hair so they attract the younger ladies and give themselves a feeling of self-confidence because they see they're getting old. In other words, that mindset affects what they do. Well, the whole of society is really trained to do everything from the outside, change the appearance from the outside. Buy these clothes, and it'll make you feel good, rather than feel good and buy the clothes that reflect how you feel.
Well, good point.
You know, so, I mean, I could go on and on with that, but I'm just trying to make the point that it underscores what you said about what we put in and from where it comes and what has to come out.
Well, remember when we were talking here, I think it was last week, that the two C's that are really our stumbling blocks in our society are all about consumption and conformity.
Mm-hmm.
And it bears repeating about the solution to that would also begin with C. It's called control your choice. Now, aging is all a part of living. And we're also talked about attitude. But, you know, there's a lot of things. A lot of people are worried about the nursing home syndrome and all of that. Do you know, there was a little story I thought that was great, and I'm going to share this with you. I'm going to read you a little story. And I think it bears credence here with all that we've shared so far. And by the way, I don't care who is listening to this right now. There is not a drug that is not a poison. There is not a drug that is not a poison. According to Dr. Melvin Belts, MD for, he was surgeon and all that. I think I shared that with you in our Getting Well portion of our seminar together.
A couple of weeks ago, yeah.
Yeah, Dr. Melvin Belts did an awesome job. He was in his 80s when I heard him, and he was on the open-heart surgeon, and he was just incredible and incredibly prolific in his field, and gave it all up and started going around preaching to all of the Seventh-day Adventist churches, which I used to be a member of, and I also heard him in other arenas as well. But one of the things that I took away from his seminars very, very much so was, there is not a drug that's not a poison. And by the way, anybody that's listening to, if you question that, you can go to any PDR, physician's desk reference, and look that up. And every one of them called toxic side effects, which there's no such thing, by the way, everybody. Those are the effects, and that's just a way for them to cushion the real hassle of the drugs. So there's no drug that's not a poison. If you're already sick, how in the world can you justify in your mind of putting a poison in your body and expecting to get it well? I mean, come on. So there is a nursing home syndrome here that people are petrified of. And it's okay. It's good because I'll tell you, you're not going to get good food in those places. You better start eating now because you're not going to get it later. It says, about 2 years ago, this story reads, my wife and I were on a cruise through the Western Mediterranean aboard a Princess liner. At dinner, we noticed an elderly lady sitting alone along the rail of the grand stairway in the main dining room. I also noticed that all the staff, ship's officers, the waiters, the busboys, all seemed very familiar with this lady. So I asked our waiter, he says, who this lady was, and expecting to be told that probably she owned the line. But he said he only knew her because she'd been on board for the last four cruises back to back. Well, he said, as we left the dining room that night, he said, I caught her eye and stopped to say hello, and we chatted, and I said, hey, ma'am, I understand that you've been on this ship for the last four cruises. Oh, she said, oh, yes, that's true. And so he said, I said, I don't understand. And she replied without a pause, she's always cheaper than a nursing home. There'll never be a nursing home for me in my future. When I get old and feeble, I'm going to go on a Princess Cruise line. She said, the average cost of a nursing home is $200 a day. I have checked on reservations on a Princess, and I can get long-term discount and senior discount price for $135 a day. That leaves me $65 a day for gratuities, which I only need about $10 a day. I can have as many as 10 meals a day if I can waddle to the restaurant, or I can have room service, which means I can have breakfast in bed every day of the week. Princess has as many as 3 swimming pools, a workout pool, free washer, dryer, shows every night. They have free toothpaste, razors, free soap, shampoo. They will even treat you like a customer, not a patient. An extra $5 worth of tips will have the staff scrambling to help you. I will get to meet new people every 7 to 14 days. TV broken? Light bulb needs changing? Need to have some mattress replaced? No problem. They'll fix everything and apologize for the inconvenience. Clean sheets, towels every day, and you don't even have to ask for them. If you fall in the nursing home and break your hip, you're on Medicare. If you fall and break your hip on a Princess cruise, they will upgrade you to a suite for the rest of your life. Now she says, hold on to the best. Do you want to go see South America, the Panama Canal, Tahiti, Australia, New Zealand, Asia, wherever? Princess will have a cruise ship going, ready to go. So don't look for me in a nursing home. Just call ship to shore. And don't forget, when you die, they just dump you over the side. No extra charge. So I like that. I thought that was real neat. So once again, everybody, you have choices. You've got choices. Don, I know we're out of time. When we come back next week, what I want to do is talking about a little bit about how do we get our thoughts together? How do we do this? So it's a pleasure always being with you, man. And hopefully that the audience received a blessing with that first 5 minutes after they get their prognosis. And I appreciated your input there as well. Thank you, man.
Well, same here. I always enjoy being in my own presence. Oh, and you too. It's about attitude.
Yeah, you're a legend in your own mind, right?
Exactly. Well, Dr. Wayne, I want to thank you for that wonderful information. And I know that if people just take your first tip and just write down 3 things to be thankful for every day, and it doesn't hurt to do it a couple of times a day if you think about it, you make that much more progress that much faster.
Absolutely.
You'll certainly experience the truth of what Dr. Wayne Pickering has shared with you. Well, Dr. Wayne, I will see you next Wellness Wednesday here on Evident Footprints. And I bid you a good night, sir.
Yeah, and I'm looking forward to it. Have a good night, sir.
All right, folks, that wraps it up. You've been listening to Evident Footprints on bbsradio.com and tonight's guest, Dr. Wayne Pickering. Special thanks to Wind Talkers Radio Network for broadcasting Evident Footprints. Over at BBS Radio, we had Seth Hendrick on the sound. I'd like to thank Don and Doug Newsom for making Evident Footprints possible. And most of all, you, the listening audience, for tuning in. Join me tomorrow night when I'll be continuing my talk about Jack Parsons and the curious origins of the American space program. In the meantime, I wish everyone a night filled with peace, love, and light, and have a good night.